You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
Does the Bible teach that Jesus Christ will come into this world again? Let's talk about this. There are some people very excited these days about the possibility that Jesus Christ could be coming soon. But then there are some people who are afraid to death that that possibly could be true. And in the middle of those two position groups would be a third group. These are people who love the Lord. They've believed in Jesus. But in their churches, they've heard nothing about the promise that Jesus would be coming back into the world. I stood in the back of a church after preaching, and a man told me, "Freddie, we were in our church for 10 years or more, and not one time did we ever hear anything about the Lord coming back." To me, that is so sad that there would be confusion among even people who believe the Bible and love the Lord. So we need to focus on the Bible and see, what does the Bible say? And let's not put our hope in what men say or predictions they make. Let's just go to the Word. Before we do, friend, let me ask you this. Would it be good news to you if Jesus did come back right now? Let's consider this. That would be awesome. Here's some reasons why I look forward to Jesus coming back into this world. Number one, on that day that he comes back, we see the one who died on the cross for our sins. We see the face of God on that day that he comes. And with that great reason, we really wouldn't need any other reason that it would be an awesome development in this world and in our lives if Jesus came back right now. Number two, it'd be great if Jesus came back right now because, well, then we're with him. Not only would we see the one who died for us, but here's our opportunity to actually be with Jesus. Are you kidding me? What could be any better than that? That the one the Bible speaks of, that God so loved the world that he sent him, now I get to be with him. Number three, if Jesus came back today, our troubles are over. Amen. Could you even imagine that a brain cancer such as myself would view the coming of Jesus Christ? My brain tumor is over. It could never come back. I'm with Jesus. Last reason we'll talk about for now before we go to the Bible. If Jesus came back today, well, the end time scenarios would have begun already. And if Jesus came back, that means that it's a continual journey now with him as some really crazy things happen in the world and in the heavenlies. But for all those things, we are with him in and out with Jesus. Amen. So friend, does the Bible say that Jesus is coming back into this world? Well, let's remember that the Bible said that Jesus would come the first time. That's in Micah chapter 5. Here's one of the places we can go to. And friend, I'll give you these verses today so that you can be equipped not only to receive the good news for yourself and your own faith, but that you'll be ready to talk about it because, frankly, some of the people who should be talking about the coming of the Lord are not. And for one fear or another, they have gone quiet. So let's not be quiet about this. If we have this in the Bible, let's talk about it and let's put a finger on the verses and show people, yes, the Lord is returning to this world. So 600 years before Jesus came as a baby into this world, the first time, God let us know in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 that he would be coming into the world. Here we go. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So here's God's promise spoken through his great prophet Micah that the ruler of Israel would be coming into the world and that he would come into Bethlehem Ephratah. That's a pretty precise promise from Micah. And we know this is Jesus because, well, that really narrows down the list there in the end of verse 2 when he says he's from of old, from everlasting. Now, we know the story of Jesus. We know his coming. He did come to Bethlehem. We sing about it every December. But there's something yet unfulfilled about this promise, prophecy from Micah. That is that he's the one who's going to be the king of Israel. And Jesus didn't become the king of Israel on that first go at the time in the world. And so there's something yet for Jesus to fulfill. And buddy, he's going to make that happen when Jesus in our future, as the Son of God, becomes the King of Israel in Jerusalem. Now, let's talk about Jesus' promise to return again into this world. He said it himself in John chapter 14. Now, he had been speaking to the disciples about his coming death, and now he's going to talk a little more about his coming death and the days of the disciples afterwards, because Jesus recognizes the disciples are afraid. They're scared of the idea of life without Jesus with them in the world. So he speaks to them a great promise in the opening verses of John chapter 14, verse 1. Here we go. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So there's the very clear promise from the lips of Jesus Christ himself that he's going to be coming back, that he's going to take us to the place he's prepared for us. So there's no discussion, there's no argument. Jesus promised, amen. He's going to come back into this world, and when he comes back, he's taking the believers out with him. Amen. The clear promise of God. There need be no argument of man when the Bible speaks, when we focus on the Bible. Friend, I can tell you the good news. Not only is Jesus coming again, he's coming two times in the future. He's coming two times. The first is what we commonly call the rapture of the church. You could call it the departure if you like. You could call it the removal of the church. But here's a very clear teaching from the Bible, plainly taught by the Apostle Paul. Jesus is going to remove the church from the earth. In order to do that, Jesus is going to come to the atmosphere of earth. Now, in this coming, he doesn't touch down into the world. This is a clear distinction. He doesn't touch down. He stops in the clouds, and he snatches away, almost like a whale fisherman will harpoon the whale and then bring him in on a rope. That's the idea here, that Jesus is going to pull us out of the world if we're alive when he comes. This teaching is plainly taught in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul the Apostle here. And in this context, he told us that he doesn't want us to be ignorant of this event. And that's why it's so sad today when I meet people who haven't been taught. They're around people who should know the truth and who should set the podium on fire and talk about this clearly taught in the Bible coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, now verse 16, here we go. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what we call the rapture, friend. It's the end of the church age in the world, or what we call the age of grace. It's when all believers are snatched out of the earth before God delivers a knockout blow of his wrath into an unbelieving world. Now, that time is called the day of the Lord. We call it the tribulation. We call it the time of Daniel's completed age. It's a time that God deals with Israel that has allowed the Lord to pass away without being its king. But friend, that's the end of the church. That's the end of our problems. That's the end of our struggle in this world. And after that, we'll be with the Lord forever. And we ought to comfort one another with these words. So friend, know 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18. And then the second coming of the Lord. This will be the second coming of the King. This is when Jesus takes the throne in the world. Now, this will happen after the 7 years of trouble, of tribulation, of judgment by God onto an unbelieving world. And now Jesus comes as the King of the world. We'll go to Matthew 24 to look at this promised coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 27 is where we'll begin. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's the coming of the King. This is spoken of all the way through the Old Testament. Friend, this is the prophecy of the Old Testament. The coming of the King in his glory to the earth. Matthew 25 speaks about this. This passage is often misunderstood because people try and make Matthew 24 all about the rapture of the church. But no, it's about the second coming after the end of the tribulation. Friend, Jesus is going to take the throne in Jerusalem. He's going to be the benevolent King that the world is crying for today. He's going to be the Prince of Peace and the King of Glory. He now will bring his peace into our world at the second coming. Now, friend, the Bible plainly teaches Jesus is coming back to this world. He's coming not once, but twice. And the Bible leaves no confusion about it, friend. And for me, that's awesome news. I look forward to that day. Now, I want to ask you, friend, are you ready for Jesus to come? Well, I hope so. But let's spell this out and make certain. Friend, you and I are sinners. We're not like God. We're not good enough for God. And we have no hope in ourselves of heaven. There's not one good thing we could do, not a million good things we could do to earn God's favor and go into heaven on what we did. And that's why Jesus came the first time. That first time, rather than take the throne, Jesus Christ took the cross. He had business to do for us. And on our behalf, he died on the cross, paid all our sin, and rose from the dead, returned to heaven with the promise that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Will you believe today and be ready when he comes?
This episode is a production of Focus Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated. For questions or comments about this episode or another biblical topic, you can write to us at Focus Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia, freddycoyle@freddycoyle.org. For more information about our ministry, you can visit our website, freddycoyle.org. That's freddiecoyle.org. We hope to see you again for next week's episode of Focus on the Bible.